But this is Dr. Faye Live. Actually, every day is the day with Dr. Faye Live because she is always expressing the living truth of God and the living Word. I'll be sitting in for her today, and it is an honor and a privilege to be able to come in and share a word and to fill in for her. You know, I'm going to be talking a little bit today about endurance. You know, I remember several years ago when I first met Dr. Faye. I had been studying a lot of things in Koinonia Greek, and I've been studying a lot about spiritual warfare and deliverance. And when I met Dr. Faye, one of the things that I realized immediately is that she was all about her purpose and her passion. She was dedicated to it. Now, being that I was into teaching and I was really trying to keep up with everybody in the charismatic, I called it the who's who in the charismatic zoo. I remember sitting down and just throwing different things at her. I would bring up things T.D. Jakes taught or Creflo Dollar taught just to see how up-to-date she was. And I was amazed because she was well aware of what was going on in the body of Christ. But she had the ability to glean from those things and keep moving. Most people have lost the ability to understand their purpose and their destiny. And so I just wanted to say that, and that was one of the things that I am learning, I want to say that emphasis, from her. But as you come today to Global Church Live and you experience this session, I want to share with you a message that God gave me. You know, I don't put together sermons. I don't come around and try to put all these ideas together and read sermon books. I get before God and I say, God, give me a message. And the word that he began to deal with me about was the lost art of letting go. Moving beyond your pain. The nature and function of endurance. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she was sharing with me about a relationship. One of the things she said, and I hear this all the time, is I am so tired. I am so worn out. I don't know if I have the strength to get out of bed. And you know, I hear that constantly with people. And I began to think about endurance. Kathy and I was on Facebook the other day, and there was something she put on there. And I began to think about endurance. You know, the scripture says in James 1 and 1, it says, James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greeting. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, I hear a lot of times Dr. Faye talk about wholeness, and she'll quote the Hebrew word for peace and prosperity, which is shalom, which means nothing missing and nothing broken. And so I begin to think about endurance. How do you let this, actually the King James doesn't use the word endurance, he uses the word patience. How do you patience have its perfect part? So as I pause there for a second, I begin to think, and I want you to join me in a journey of this conversation. Don't allow circumstances to harden your determination, the will to overcome, but allow it to harden your ability on your determination never to quit. Jesus said men ought to always pray and not faint. Hebrews 12 says that you can actually faint in your mind. There's an epidemic in this world where people are losing their ability to stand. I looked up the etymology of the word endure, and it was interesting to me because it comes from the Latin word that means to harden the heart. Because we know Scripture talks about hardening the heart. But as I looked at it, I realized that it's kind of a paradox, because there is parts of my heart that the Bible says you set your face like a flint. There's a part of my intention that I can say I determine, and I'm not let any man deter me from the thing that I set my heart to do. But at the same time, there's a place where circumstances can harden your heart. You know, I was thinking about in my life, in the times of my life, when I said, okay, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make a decisive moment. And from this day forward, nothing else is going to make me change it. The scripture says, hear from the Spirit and do not confer with flesh and blood. You know what? I found that a lot of times in my life, that lasted about a minute. And I begin to think about this, and let me say this. And before I get into this, let me say this. There's two secrets that I have learned in my life, and I'm just sharing my journey. One of them is the art of letting go. And I talk about the Pentecost and the Assemblies of God movement and things that I didn't learn there, but let me tell you one thing I did learn. I did learn how to let go and let God. I did know how to go up to an altar and learn how to pour myself out into the presence of God. I didn't know a lot of Bible. In fact, most of the verses that we heard actually came from the Old Testament or from the book of Revelation, which, by the way, tonight we will be dealing with the book of Revelation on Dr. Faye. We're going to be going through that book, and we're going to be examining some things. Because I'm going to tell you something. As a believer, I played around with negativity and fear a lot. I went and watched a lot of movies. I went and watched all the Friday 13th and the Halloween and all the horror movies. But nothing brought terror in my life than the book of Revelation and the things that I was taught about that book growing up. So join us there. But as I grew up in the Pentecostal movement, one of the things we called it was praying through. I knew how to get in the presence of God. I knew how to let go. And something that bothers me is that I meet people who don't know how to let go. But you know, along with learning that how to let go, is that I would get into church, I would let it go, and then I didn't know how to live my daily life. I didn't know how to live. No one taught me how to live the Christian life. Not the knowledge, not the doing, but just the being. No one told me that. And I would have these tremendous times in the presence of God only to be faced with Monday morning. And so some of these things I'm sharing with you are things that I dealt with over years and years of my life. I was listening to a Bible teacher around 1984, and he used a term. He said the word patience is the ability to stand up under anything or endure anything. Patience is the ability to endure. And I'm going to tell you something. I listened to that. And I allowed that definition to sink deep into me. He said it comes from Webster's or Strong's or something of that nature. And I believe it. But you know what? Over the years, I found that definition was false. That endurance doesn't have to do with your ability to stand under anything. It has your ability to stand in Him who is above everything. You see, I grew up reading books about how to cope with pain, how to cope with guilt, how to cope with grief. I listened to songs about going up yonder, hanging on. This was a way of thinking. How to deal with trouble. I was an expert on how to let go and tell people how to deal with trouble. But the issue is that I was going nowhere. I was stuck. And as I would read the Bible, it would talk about overcoming life. It would talk about life and that more abundantly, John 10:10. And I would read about scriptures that says, he that overcomes all things will I grant to sit with me. And I would sit and think, overcoming life? What is that? Because my whole Christian life was a survival mode from Monday to Friday, even though I experienced great times in the presence of God. But I didn't know anything. As I begin to hear messages, I begin to hear things about my purpose and having a purpose in the midst of chaos, and there's a method to the madness. I saw the Bible as a survival guide instead of an overcomer's manual. I began to think about war, war, war. I was never in the state of victory in my consciousness. It was war, war, war. And I remember thinking about endurance. One day I began to get so frustrated, I pulled out my Greek New Testament, I pulled out some of these word study books, and I began to dig. And one of the passages it took me to was Mark chapter 4 and verse 16 through 19. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Have you ever seen that? I mean, they've just been to a conference. They have just got a hold of the latest CD. They've gotten into a new teacher, and man, are they excited. They are going to live the overcoming life. They are excited. They are so joyful. Until what? A week later, wondering somebody else's teaching or into somebody else's revelation. They talk about what they're going to do to change the world, and it isn't 2 or 3 days later that they're wondering how they're going to pay a bill. Now, folks, I'm telling you where I have lived, where I preached the prosperity of God on Sunday morning, and by Monday, I had enough gas to go check the mail, and if God didn't come through, I was going up. I have lived that. Some of it, yes, it was painful, yes, there's a higher way, but you know what, I learned some things. But it's not the ultimate way. This is not the more excellent way Jesus referred to. But God always comes through because God is faithful even when we're not. But then as I read the scripture in Mark chapter 4, it says in verse 16, I'll repeat it again, they heard the word and immediately received the gladness, but have no root in themselves. Verse 17. And so endure for a time, and afterward when persecution or affliction arises for the word's sake, immediately are offended. Notice it says, for the word's sake. You know what? Preaching the word will bring on you persecution and affliction that you never dreamed of because you realize you are saying something that has more meaning than just an opinion. And it says, and they are offended. I know people who are all for healing until Tuesday comes and they're offended. But notice the phrase, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. My good friend, Jonathan Mitchell, who's a Greek scholar, you can get his translation on Amazon.com. He says, and they are continuing to possess no root within themselves, but continue in existence, being once oriented toward the season or the opportune situation. They want to live like ordinary, temporary folks, and when tribulation or squeezing comes, they're offended. I love that of his translation. They're oriented toward the season or the opportune situation. In other words, they're about a day or two going to change their lives until something else happens. Now, this has been my story. Why do people have no root in themselves? Well, let me tell you, the scripture says the wisdom of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the root that is in you. But most people don't go within the house and tap into it. You see, part of it, in my opinion, and in my life, was how I looked at the word endure. So I want to look at some things that it talks about enduring. Some of the definitions. Because endure has the idea that you're just tolerating. And let me tell you something. God has not called you to tolerate anything. I know I've met people. They're in relationships. And their husband stepped out on them. And you know what they said? Well, I've just got to suck it up and endure. The scripture, although I don't condone divorce, the Bible says, in the Old Testament, that God hates divorce, but there are New Testament understandings where it says that Jesus said people have divorces because of the hardness of their heart. But you see, there are places in relationships where I know women who set no boundaries and all of a sudden find out who they are and all of a sudden there's problems. Because now all of a sudden you're trying to take a stand and you've allowed yourself to be put into that place. I've met people, talk about endurance, I've met athletes who are strong, who are physically capable, but they still walk around with their head down because something a coach told them. Let me tell you something, you talk about abuse, what about mental abuse? How tired are some of the people in relationships because they allow people to browbeat them with words every day. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Because I'm telling you, God has told me to declare to you that those days are over. Because fear has torment, and God is removing the torment. As I was reading these scriptures, I thought about one of the scriptures that you hear about a lot, and we talk about it, abiding in Him. It says, I am the vine, you are the branch, and we abide in Him. Many people have translated that in a sense of endurance. It's the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O. And what happens is people go out and they get their definitions and they self-insert this survival mentality. Though I'm just abiding. But you know another definition there? It's the word dwelling. And let me tell you something. When God indwells something, it is not simply surviving. It is being. And I'm telling you, He indwells you. But you've got to tap into. You've got to go into the house. There are things. God doesn't dwell in a place just to make it survive. He dwells it with His life. He wants to live there. He don't want a visitation. That's the problem with the church, is that we've been taught on the visitation, not the habitation. We've been based on what we know, not what we are knowing. And as I began to read these scriptures, I thought, how much does it shift in our thinking when we realize that we're not continually abiding, we're not surviving, but we are the dwelling place of God unto all ages. Into the ages of God. Here's another word, and I hear this scripture a lot. It's the idea of patience. You know what the word patience is? Patience is the Greek word hupomeno. H-U-P-O means under or to undergird. It's like putting a foundation under something. And meno means to come together and to advance ground. Let me tell you this in modern day terms. Take higher ground. Because the Lord Himself will undergird you. He is your foundation. And you know what our crazy translators did? They translated patience. Patience is not tolerance, people. It is you stepping forth in your life and gaining higher ground. It is you going up the mountain. You see, the scripture says, he that standeth take heed lest he fall. The scripture says, pride cometh for a fall, and God resists the proud but gives more grace or greater dimensions of grace to the humble. So what's the key here? The key is there's a stand in me that I didn't create. It's a stand that comes in His presence. You can try all you want to stand on what you know about the Bible, your mental comprehension, all of your notes, but there's a place in His presence that He stands up on the inside of you, and there's a stand that you don't that's kind of odd wordplay there, that you don't understand. A peace that passes all understanding. I've seen it. I remember at times in my life says, I know what I know what I know, and I don't understand a word of it, but I knew God had said, it's going to be okay. He didn't say just survive the storm. He didn't say just go through. He didn't say let's just hold through the storms of life. He said, no, you speak to the storm. He wants to live the abundant life through you. He wants to release His life through you. You know, I look at several of the translations and I hear the word to bear or to endure, and it says, oh, Jesus bore. You know what that really means? It means He offered. And I'm going to tell you how you can find this out without looking up one word. Look at the context. The context is revealing it's about an offering. Now, let me tell you something. There's a huge difference in sacrifice and offering. I wish I would have known this several years ago, and I'm going to pass it on to you. Because the Bible says that when you sacrificially give something, it has benefits. When you feel that you have to do it, it is a sacrifice. It is something that you're saying, I'm going to go ahead and do what it takes. There is a sense of accomplishment. But when you offer something out of the willingness of your heart because of love, not because you feel you're forced to, let me tell you that, The scripture says there's a return. When Abraham offered Isaac, it says the Lord himself becomes the sacrifice. What's the principle there? When you willingly offer everything, you tap into that which God has already given you. He's already offered up his son. The only sacrifice was him. Now it says that we offer up our offering of praise. Not because I have to, but because he first loved me. I don't know if you understand the shift in that, but let me tell you how powerful that is. It's when you understand that you don't lose anything when you offer it up. You not only gain it, you gain the presence of God. He himself will live through you when you offer up the life you have. Matt Murdock said it this way. You'll never ever understand what's in his hand till you let go of what's in yours. And I'm telling you, when you begin to understand this, you begin to understand a patience that isn't just ability to endure, but a steadfastness. A steadfastness. There's actually a Greek word that's used in Hebrews 11:27 that talks about Moses and everything that he endured. Folks, you have not endured anything that hasn't been processed. It is all for an accomplished goal. He works all things to the good. Well, Mark, did God create that, or did I create that, or the devil create that? It does not matter. He himself will make this. He'll have the last word. And see, I'm telling you, everything you've been through has been brought you to this moment. Now, this is survival. But as a person that is relying on the victory of in Christ Jesus that was bought and paid for you, that was the sacrifice. Now we offer up and willingly say, God, show me your wisdom. Show me your glory. Show me this stand. Show me that it is your faith. It is your love. It is your joy that flows through me. You know, I used to hear this scripture, and I'm going to use this as an example. 2 Timothy. This is a classic one right here, because this just shows exactly what I'm illustrating. Thank you, Father God. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. We heard these verses for years. It says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That's context. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me, even as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. When you read those verses, you say, well, it's about endurance. But look at the beginning. It says, my son, be strong in the grace. Who is the one that's going to give you the grace to do this? The Father. It's not going to be you. This is about empowerment. This is not about you doing your own thing. This is not about you standing. This ain't about you tolerating. It's allowing his life to stand up and make the stand in you. Notice it says, and if anyone who completes, this is verse 5, 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, and if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And the hardworking farmer ought to first be the first to receive the share of his crops. Consider what I'm saying to you, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Next verse, remember Jesus Christ. This is about grace and remembering Christ. This isn't about you enduring some sort of thing. I gladly endure when I understand what he went through. But I'm just not suffering to be suffering for suffering's sake. And that's a tongue I'm getting tangled up. But it's about you understanding. I don't believe everything in my life is there because the Father wants it. I believe there's a lot of things in my life that is my own creation. But it doesn't mean that the Father isn't there in the midst of it to help me. Before he will ever deliver you out of, he will deliver you in it. And there's a lot of people that say, Father, please take this situation from me. No, it's about you letting go and letting him live through you, overcome through you. I hope you're getting it. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, verse 8. Descendant of David, according to my gospel, which I suffer hardship, even to the imprisonment of the criminal, but the word of God is not in prison. Listen, I don't care what they do to your physical body, it don't stop the word from working. For this reason, this is the Apostle Paul, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, unto eternal glory. This is a trustworthy thing. If you died with him, you shall have to live with him. If you endure, you shall have to reign with him. And if you deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, I've read that in New Thought books for years, that he cannot deny himself. And it's right there in the Word. But look what he's saying. Look, he's not saying he's just out here enduring to be enduring. He's not just tolerating life. He is giving himself to his passion and his purpose because he first was loved by the Father. The motivation is love. It's not law. It's not forced religion. And see, when I was reading this, I was brought back to something that happened to me years ago. I was really going through some things, and I thought, well, you know what? If I do everything right, I'm not going to endure any of this anymore. I don't have to persevere. So I was reading all the books, studying all the tapes, doing all this, and I went to this prophetic man, and I went to him, and I was sharing with him the revelation God was giving me, and he looks at me, and he says, the Holy Spirit's teaching you endurance. He's teaching you perseverance. His idea. And I was offended because I said, do you mean to tell me there's more that I got to go through? And he said, yes. You know, Jesus said, they said in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I just sit there and I said, oh my gosh, there's more? But see, I didn't realize what he was saying. Your ministry comes when you can overcome. When you've been through something, you have an authority and an anointing to help bring other people through. And I didn't realize that if you're in the pit, you're not in the pit just to suffer. You're in the pit because God called you to minister to somebody. Now, there are things that we do on ourselves that we self-afflict ourselves. But let me tell you something. Even in that, there's the opportunity to learn. You know, if I had the life that I thought in my mind I would have, the ministry I would have, I wouldn't have learned anything. Because what I thought was going to be this easy road, and let me tell you something, you may not like what I'm about to say, but I could have went down those roads. God gave me a choice to go down an easy road, do everything that's ever been done, to walk with familiarity, or I could have chose the life that he chose for me. And let me tell you something, it was rocky. It has been bumpy, but let me tell you something, it has been a gleaning of his truth. I can't tell you the times that I thought to myself, God, if you don't show up and show out, this is over. And he does. And I wouldn't take the boring, familiar, you know, all the time, Dr. Faye's talking about, get up, get out, and get blessed. You've got to break with familiarity to really walk in the blessings of God. You've got to get out of this familiarity. And let me tell you something. Even suffering, as horrible and wretched as it is, and I don't deny any of you experience or pain or grief, I'm just saying we can move beyond that. That I'm learning to move beyond that. And let me tell you this. Love does not require your grief. Love doesn't require your pain. But that's not to say that you've not been through pain and that you've not been through grief, even guilt. See, I used to have in my mind that if I suffered enough, if I beat myself enough, if I browbeat myself, then I would somehow qualify for repentance. the more sorrow I felt, the greater it would be. That was a lie. And my whole idea of humility and repentance and all that had to do with me proving how bad I was, and God wasn't nowhere near the situation. He would walk up to his disciples and said, Peter, come follow me. Where is all this stuff we've been taught? Where's the altar call? Where's him going down there and feeling sorry for his sins and spending 6 months on that sabbatical because he screwed up? None of that existed in the New Testament. Now, am I to say that we should distrust everybody? No. There is a place of discernment. There are people out here that want to spy out your liberty. I'm going to tell you something. The religious phonies aim off into somewhere else in some dead church. They're up close to you trying to figure out what you got. And I know that is very scary to think about, but it's the truth. When God starts moving, here comes all the people, because it's so easy in life to speculate, to accuse, and to watch from the sidelines, but it's only those who are really dedicated to their passion and purpose that will get out on the field and play the ball. And I'm not a big football guy, but that's a great illustration. Because one of the things that concerns me about ministry is that we produce ministers who have all the knowledge, all the Hebrew, all the Greek, have all the studies, that they have never been through prophets. They've never been seasoned. They've never been through the fire. They've never let patience and endurance. And I'm telling you, those people are the very ones that they get locked into this thing that's called the abundant life. But there's no abundance to it. And then I meet people who don't have the knowledge, they don't have the scriptures, they don't have all the understanding, but they hear God speak to them. They get in His presence, and God gives them, notice this, a more sure word prophecy, which is Him speaking to them. And I'm telling you, there's a place that God can speak. I'm talking to the parts of your heart that you've never opened up to any man. God can speak right into those situations. You know, I for years thought, well, I'm pretty dedicated to the Lord. I mean, everything I got is belongs to God. Until God reveals that part of my heart that I've closed off. That part of my heart that I've let harden. Whether you realize it or not, when you're exposed to the supernatural, when you're exposed to miracles, when you're exposed to divine healing, but you've not experienced the love of God, it produces a hardened heart. Now, there is a place where you set your face like a flint and you determine to do your passion. I'm not referring to that. I'm talking about the word hardened in the book of Ephesians talks about being callous. It's not got to do with being determined. It's got to do with the fact that you've been so exposed to something that you're numb to it. You don't even feel it. Let's actually go there, because I've been feeling led to speak on that a little bit. Well, it has to do with endurance. God's idea of endurance. I have to say that, because God's weeding out my idea. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, and I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the fertility, I'm reading in New American Standard, the fertility of their mind. Let me tell you something. We're not called to walk as everybody else is called to walk. We're not called to walk in the illusions and the delusions that this world does. There are things that you can watch on that news and 14 people in that room will say, that's it, I know it's the truth. You know, it's not the truth, it's the facts. It's not the truth concerning you. When they say every person in here is going to experience poverty, I don't receive that because that's not who I am. I don't believe that the economy that is quote-unquote going under is not the economy I walk in. I walk in the economy of grace. And it says, being darkened, the futility, being darkened in their understanding. They're not clear. Go listen to some of the preaching that you hear. You realize them people are struggling with some kind of veil on their minds. Because they're trying to understand the abundant life, and at the same time they're going, but this has always happened to me, and this has always happened to me. Folks, it's all the lies of religion. But it says, being darkened and understanding, and excluded from the life of God because of the heart, the ignorance that is in them, and because of the hardness of the heart. The word there in Greek has to do with like the calluses on your hand. You've been exposed and exposed and exposed. It becomes so familiar to you that you don't even realize how hard your own hand has become. And I have seen this. I have walked into rooms and told them, you can have abundant life, and they are ready to throw me out. Because you become so familiar with suffering, so familiar with poverty, so familiar with being beat down, that you will fight somebody who will tell you that you are worth more than that. Now, I've said all of that I've been saying, just to say that right there. That's when I felt this relief, because you're worth more than that. You are not a garbage dump. You are not someplace somebody can just jump up and dump off all their negativity. You are more than you know. Because God made you that way. It says in Ephesians 4:17, of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become so callous, having given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, that you did not learn Christ. Now let me tell you something. In the Greek, it's a lot more clear. It really talks about you giving to yourself the place that you don't feel anything. You are so numb. And let me tell you something. Some of these people that go out and do this crazy stuff we see on TV and preachers, they're not doing that because I think they want to just get mad at God. They're doing it because they've gotten to the place that they believe in their heart. They're already condemned. They're living out what they believe. They live out what they have been taught. And you can become such a place that you don't even feel anything. You know, I grew up in the Word of Faith movement, and there is a truth that you should walk by faith and walk by the truth and not by your feelings. But there is a place that feelings will engage and cooperate with the Spirit. You don't rely on them. But I want to feel His love. I want to sense His love. And there is a place where you actually, in Hebrews, it says you exercise your senses for righteousness. You've been so convinced of who He has made you that you're no longer, your feelings are not only given to this world and all the entrapments in it. How can we feel in a world that tells us who we are constantly outside of the truth of God's Word? There are people who have went through tremendous amount of changes in their physical body, all because they did not accept who they are. Up in the thousands. I mean, they get body work done, and they still don't feel right, so then they take it off, and they put it back on. We see this in the news media all the time. People who feel they're not beautiful. I'm here to tell you, you are beautiful. I was on Facebook recently, and I said, God loves and enjoys and dances over you. And this guy said, do not broaden the idea of us to include me. Your idea of love is sentimental naiveness and something to the fact that I didn't understand God's holiness and justice. And I said to myself, I said, no. God's love is definitely not naive. He loves you knowing exactly everything you would or will do. But I said, I'm sorry that I offend you, including you into us. Because the Bible says God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I'm sorry that I offend you to tell you that God loves you regardless of what you do. If you meant to tell me God's going to love me no matter what I do, I said, I hope so. See, that's how crazy and warped. And this guy's got all kinds of degrees in theology. I don't know what they're teaching him, But could you imagine that we are offended when we're told that God loves us? We're offended when God wants to bless us. People will become offended of it. It's what we said in Mark 4, going back to that. People become offended. Immediately persecution or affliction arises and they're offended. Back to Mark chapter 4. Let's go into that a little more. Mark chapter 4. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and then immediately what happens? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things come in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Think about that statement. They hear the word, and all of a sudden the cares of this world. Let me tell you something. Living everyday life can so desensitize you to the things of God. You know, I've sitting back and I watch some of the things, and I speak to the women, the things they get done in a day's time, the things they get done in a week's time that no one says thank you. It's unbelievable. And then after they went through a whole hard week, then they're supposed to just get up as if they're not tired, they're not refreshed, and go do something spiritual. And that's what we do. We brutalize people's time, we brutalize people's agendas, we brutalize people, we wear them out, and then we want them to act spiritual. I went to one church, I mean, they had so many programs going, it was unbelievable. It was like a big driven machine. It was like cattle driving. And that could be a subject we bring up sometimes. But deceitfulness of riches, there's nothing wrong with riches as long as you are not deceived about what the purpose of those riches are for. The scripture says he gives you prosperity to establish his covenant. He's not giving you riches for riches' sake, but it says deceitfulness of riches, which means there are people that have riches that are deceived on what to do with them. I know people who will do anything for a buck. I know people who will drive across town to get something at a discount. Now listen, I believe in being thrifty and all that, okay? You know, I buy some of my books at places that most people say they wouldn't find, but sometimes I find the best books. You know, there is a lot of people, I live in Dallas, Texas, there's a lot of professors and things like that that they'll pass on and their children don't have a clue what they were studying, and they'll take them to some of these thrift stores. There is excellent stuff. So I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the fact that people can be so driven. And that's my point. They can be so driven by the economy, so driven by the ability to make money, that you're running yourself crazy. You took on 14 extra hours in the second job, and all you're doing is wearing yourself out, and then you spend all that money because you're so miserable. I've been there. And then it says the lust of other things. Let me tell you something. Lust there means desire, a strong desire. You can have a desire for things that are not necessarily bad, but they choke out your ability to do and live the Word of God. Am I saying they're wrong? No. You know, usually lust has the connotation of something bad. It just means strong desire. That's all it means. We've made that into what it is. You know, we go down the road and we see people get divorced and then all of a sudden they say, well, we know there was lust there. That's not discernment. We should have discerned it back when the divorce started, which was years before. It starts out when people begin to treat one another as if they own them. Let me tell you something. There's one thing I'll tell you right now. I love my wife, but I do not own her. Because let me tell you something. I realize there's a point where I cross the boundary that I'm talking to a child of God. I am talking to the daughter of the Lord. And I realize that I'm crossing over and going to say something to her, knowing that my father says, that's mine. Now, when you walk in that understanding, you know, I meet guys, hey, I work, you know, a full-time job, and I walk in, and I have people say ruthless, destructive things about their wives, Well, if you don't hear me, that don't mean those words don't have power. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and you enjoy it and eat the fruit thereof. You know, there's things that are said, there's scriptures that talk about words spoken out of season. There are things that you know you need to say, but maybe it's not the time to say them. I know of situations where I wanted to come in and say, but this is what God's showing us. And God will say, not time. You know? Hey, I dig and study constantly, but that doesn't mean that what I'm digging into, God wants to talk about. There are a lot of things I study that I don't ever talk about because this is not the place for my opinions, and believe me or not, there's a whole line of stuff you can read that ain't nothing but another guy going behind somebody else and tearing down what he said. God has not called me to go behind some other man and tear down what they have to say, good or bad. That's just not my calling. My calling is not to go around and correct everybody. Because I'm telling you right now, there are things that I'm not called to change. But the things that I am called to change, that's what I'm going to devote my time to. There are situations out here that I do not like. I say that it's ungodly. It is unscriptural, but it is not my purpose to alter that man's view of God. I share the truth when the Holy Spirit quickens me. But I have sat in rooms and heard absolute horrible things. And the Lord just says, go, leave, take off. Don't confront it. Because this is not about confronting someone with the opinion. It's about standing in the truth of His love. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, actually the same scripture we read right above that, talking about context. Verse 15, Ephesians 4:15. And this is in the context of the hardness of the heart. But speaking the truth in love, that we are to grow in unto all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitly enjoined and held together, that's what every joint supplies. Now, let me tell you something. I have met ministers that take so good care of their people, but don't hear a word they say by revelation. Don't become so familiar with the messenger that you miss the message. It was a few months ago, I was listening to a CD, and I plugged it in, and there was a part in there that I kind of got a little hazy, and it was like I put assumption. I said, okay, this is what Dr. Faye says. And then I listened to it, and I realized what she was saying. The only thing that God will leave in your life is the truth. Everything else will go through the fire and be processed. So there's areas of your life that God's burning up because it isn't supposed to be. It isn't who you are anyway. But you know what? I had to go back and I had to listen to that CD and I had to pray, Holy Spirit, what is she trying? What is she? What are you trying to tell me, God? Because I could have just assumed, oh, I know the lingo, I know the term, I know the teaching. That's where we make a mistake. Don't assume. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And when I went back, I realized, and that was some of the things I was saying, if you're enduring something, and there's a part of you that you feel like is just being thrown to the wayside, there's a part of you that's feeling the fire, hey, that's not who you are anyway. The only part of you that is going to remain is the part of you that's a part of your original identity. There's things in your life right now that are burning in your life. I'll give a perfect example. You're sitting there, you feel like you need a new car, you know you need a new car, the one you got's breaking down, you done took it to the dealer 4 times, and then you know what you say? Well, maybe. And then something happens. You know, sometimes God has to give us a little nudge to do what we already know He's supposed to tell us to do. And we wait till we hear the other things broke down. I've been telling you for 6 months, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, have you heard the report? Yeah, the report that says get a new car was what God told you 6 months ago. So I understand sometimes, God will use circumstances. You got to have discernment, because sometimes circumstances is no proof that you're doing the will of God. In fact, circumstances sometimes can be completely contrary. I know when I'm safe, I'm comfortable, everything's fine, everything's great, there's no sense of urgency, there's no sense of awakening. That's not always the best quote. There's been a lot said today, but I want to throw it out like this. The Father is teaching us endurance. The Father is teaching us how to let go and willingly offer from our hearts everything that He's given us. You know, you may be sitting here today and you may be thinking, you know what, I've heard this 100 times. And I understand that mental data goes through your head. But I just want to make a fresh call. I'm going to pray. I want to make a fresh call to the commitment to you committing to your purpose, to your destiny, a commitment to understand your divine identity, a commitment that may require that you go back and listen to some of them CDs that Dr. Faye's done, or listen to some of the new ones. Maybe the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart a certain amount. You know, I'm telling you, we do things so familiar. We just, you know, I've done this, man. You know, when I didn't have any finances, I prayed over every ounce of my money. What do you want me to give? But when I got comfortable, I signed a check. Never think about it. Here's my tithe. Here's my offering. You know what? That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, what are you telling me to do, God? And sometimes God tells me to do some things that are quite out of the ordinary. And then other times, things, you know, just because I automatically assume He's wanting me to do this thing over here, He tells me to do the small things. Let me tell you something. The small things the Father tells you, like sending someone a letter or sending someone a card, has such power to it, such encouragement. What happens is when we try to make everything a daily life, when we should hear His voice today. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? And how much are we willing to say, you know what, I'm going to see this thing through. Here's my desire. I would love to see every person that's involved with Dr. Faye 3 years from now walk over and look into their eyes and see no more torment, no more fear. Even your faith has become fresh and brighter. The age, the lines have been removed. You talk about faith or cream, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit can remove that stuff. I know people that, oh my God, I'm so aging. Let me tell you something, there's a part of you that don't age. The Father says, you don't need all of this out here. All you have to do is get into my presence, go inside the house, and realize that you're complete and perfect, and allow that stand, that patience, that endurance that is His strength, His joy, the joy of the Lord is His strength. Let it have its purpose. Let it process you. Let the fire burn out of you. What is hindering you? There's a lot of information. And I don't have all the information as far as right in front of me, but there are ways that you can connect to this ministry and be a blessing. And I'm telling you, it's all based on the fact, what is the Father speaking to you? You know, I meet people and I say things like that and they automatically assume I meant this or a dollar amount of this. But let me tell you something. Quit limiting that to where you've been. You know, the Father told me to do something recently. I was working on a message, and I mean, this message was burning in me, boy. I said, boy, I can't wait to deliver this one. The Father said, pack it all up and send it to this minister. I said, Father, is this not the message you gave me to preach? He said, no. And it was researched out and everything. You know, it was just dug into. God gave me that for somewhere else. And I said, Father, what's it? You know, and it was an area that I had never dealt with. And Father said, I didn't call you to deal with that. But see, that was a form of giving. And I had never even thought about doing that. But all it is saying, whatever the Father is requiring, God told Abraham to offer up Isaac. Isaac! But you know what? there's always a lamb in the city. And some of us are not enduring because we don't wait for that breakthrough. Someone asked me years ago, Mark, are you waiting on God? Is God waiting on you? Let me tell you something. Yes. There are areas of my life I'm waiting on God, but there's other areas of my life God's waiting on me to move. My prophetic mentor, Ronnie Martin, said years ago, fruit always at the end of the tree, limb. You got to go out on the limb to bear fruit. You'll never do it being safe and secure. Father, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus to remove any sense of familiarity, any sense of suffering, any sense of premeditated ideas of endurance, and birth in you the victorious stand in your truth. Impart it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give us a love that passes all understanding, a stand that passes all circumstances, a sense where you stand up on the inside of us and say, no more. No more. Father, I thank you for this. I praise you for it. I just feel it right now in my spirit. I don't have to make nothing up. I don't have to conjure up nothing. It's happening right now, right now, right now. All guilt, grief. Some of you, your whole house is arranged to the person who left. The whole house, all your pictures, everything, is over something you've lost. Let me tell you something. Don't let grief define you. Let love define you. But some of you lost the relationship, and everything in your life is geared to that person that's gone. Or what if he comes back? What if he comes? Let me tell you something. Do not ever live in your life in loss. You live your life in the abundance of God's grace and love. Father, I thank you for this. I praise you for it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just move all across these airways, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's going to be so much revelation emerging in the next few months. So much revelation emerging. You're going to begin to... It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind how complete your destiny is. Hallelujah. You think some shabby, slim... No, let me tell you something. When you stand in your destiny, you stand. Oh, you stand. You realize you were processed. You realize there were things that happened to you when you were younger just to equip you for what you're doing now. Some of you right now, there's a release of the voice on the inside of you. You couldn't say what God had been putting on your heart, but you're going to begin to hear it. Some of you, you have a voice that's just been tampered over and shrugged and the presence said, you can't say it. You were told as a child, you don't have a right to say it. Let me say, the Holy Spirit said, now speak it now. Hallelujah. This has been Global Church. Please move out into a new dimension of connection. Do whatever's on your heart and watch the Father arrange heaven and earth to sum it all up in His Son. Speak your truth in the love. Speak the truth that's muttered by love. And watch those storms cease. Trouble your trouble. Quit letting trouble define you. God bless you.